6. Merrill for the lead. He's got it! Oh, my goodness.
And champions of the Mountain West for the first time. Zalega in at quarterback and wasting no time. And welcome to the game, Cooper Lega. Devin Tompkins takes it all the way. How about that?
Good afternoon, evening, morning, whatever time it is that you're listening to our lovely voices. My name is Braxton Moon, and this is the Sagebrush Show. As always, I am joined by Brady Clark and Tim Wilson. Tim is back after a week off. He went to get some wings and watch the Giants lose. Tim, how was it?
Yeah, how was that, Tim?
It was good. They were 2-0, and then they lost, but then they won, and now they're 3-1, which is rare.
It's a good time to be a Giants fan right now.
Yeah, it's a good time. Also, the Knicks are going to be better than the Jazz this year, so that's
also positive.
That's a real I
sure hope that the Knicks are better than the Jazz.
Yeah, I don't know. They got a point guard, and it seems I don't think they're going to be great, but they'll be
in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. After one preseason,
Braxton, how you doing after talking from last week?
I'm good. I'm tired today. It's been a long week at work, but I'm good. It's Haley and I went to a little pumpkin patch over the weekend. What else we do? Just celebrated. We went and saw Bros, the movie.
Very funny.
Here's some information.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Siri just popped off. it was pretty good. And now I have Mobettas on the way. So
cool. And it's homecoming week up here in Logan. It's getting pretty excited for Saturday. But before we actually jump into the Air Force game this Saturday, I kind of want to take a moment and talk about Logan Bonner. Obviously, he hasn't had the season that he's wanted this season, but I think it's important for us to kind of sit back and kind of reflect on what he brought to Utah State. He brought us our first conference championship, but I kind of want to talk to you guys about it. So 5 years from now, when, you know, everyone's gone from this, from these teams, and someone asks you what Logan Bonner was, what are like your initial thoughts? Braxton, we'll start with you.
I don't want to say like a flash in the pan. I don't want to say like a disappointment, because I mean last year he did a lot for the Aggies, and I think looking back he'll be remembered as, you know, a top three Aggie QB of all time. It's just hard because it was just 1 year, and then the next year was not as good. But he won us, I mean he helped win us a Mountain West championship. He broke a lot of records. A little sour taste in the mouth from the season, but I think you have to look at this at his career in a whole. And I think you'd look back and be like, he's a top three Aggie quarterback of all time.
Tim, what do you think?
I really am happy that whatever this first of all, I had no idea that he tore his ACL in the bowl game last year until like a couple weeks ago. Like, I know he was like, I thought he was like a meniscus or something. Like, I didn't know that he was like rehabbing from a major knee injury during the offseason.
Yeah, nobody reported that really.
Which changes it up
a
little bit. But I am happy that this happened now. I mean, we'll get into this in a little bit. But like, if they still win this somehow, win this game Saturday, they still have a chance at a division title. Like, there's still something to play for. If this would have gone on for another month, it would have really trashed his legacy a lot and completely ruined the season, potentially throwing him out there week after week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but at least where they're at now, it looks like it happened early enough. Whether this was whether he was just done playing or he's actually injured or it just wasn't working or it's the foot injury or the knee or whatever, this still happened early enough in the season where there is still something to watch, and the season is still exciting and could still potentially be something, which is cool and leaves a nice lasting legacy.
Yeah, and I think if anything, this kind of saves his legacy. Obviously, he could have turned the corner and this season could have gone better, but he was having a Chucky Keaton 2014-2015 year this year, but he didn't have the kind of the years previously that backed up Chucky Keaton, if that makes sense, where like the fan base really loved him. And he could do no wrong. I think that the fan base, oddly enough, turned against him really quickly. But I think that if anything, looking back on him 5 years from now, I think that he's on the upper echelon of players. Like when you think of like Kent Myers or Daryl Gerritsen, I think that's kind of the grouping he's going to be looped in with, of guys that were here, but like weren't here for a long time. I know Kent Myers was here for a while, but like, I think just like that realm of quarterbacks, they were pretty good for a time, but they weren't like the stars like Chucky or Jordan or some of the older guys back in the 90s that we had. I think he's in that peg below those guys. Even though he has the greatest single season in Utah State history, he has that on his pedigree. I just don't think that it's enough to kind of put him up there with those other guys. There's also the thing. No, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
I disagree. I think he had a better college career. I mean, Jordan Love played pretty well, but what's his biggest win? It's a bowl game over North Texas. It's beating bad BYU team by 30. He lost two bowl games that he started. He didn't play well his first year, really, when he took over from Kent Myers. And then his second year, they didn't beat anybody. They got blown out by BYU. They got blown out by Boise. They lost the bowl game against, I think we played like Kent State or something.
Yeah. Tim, let me ask you this. Is like, I've been thinking about this all season, is that could you guess the last quarterback that you would say had a pretty good career at Utah State that had more than one season? So like he had at least one, like two seasons that you would say those were actually pretty solid, that he finished, started the very beginning of the season and finished the season. He had 2 years, at least just 2 years, that he was pretty solid. I have someone in my mind and it probably would surprise you.
Chucky or Kent Myers?
Kent Myers is what I thought.
I would say Chucky. Yeah.
Chucky only had 1 year, really.
He had two. Because it was like first season.
His freshman year, okay. He got hurt. His freshman season, he got hurt. Then his sophomore year was his big year. And then his junior year was his even bigger year, but he also got hurt. Chucky is the closest, but I think Kent Myers is the only one that we've actually, you know, gone into the season with who we knew as our starting.
Chucky's freshman year, he started 8 of 9 games, mm-hmm. and he threw 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah, and like those are the two. I think Kent Myers and Chucky Keaton are the only ones that we've actually had who came into the season and then actually came into the next season and played well the following year, which is weird because I don't think a lot of people hold Kent Myers in high regard, but he's done something that most Aggie quarterbacks haven't been able to do.
His career was weird because he started his freshman year, like, because him and I were at USU in the same 4-year period. I remember meeting him in the LLC when he was like the fifth quarterback on the depth chart with no plans to play.
Yeah.
And then ended up starting after everyone got injured. And then I think he went, I know he lost to Boise, but I think he went like 5-6-1 as a starter his freshman year, then took over for Chucky and played really good football for about like a month and a half. And then
he did beat Boise, didn't he?
Yeah, he came in and like, I remember because we almost lost to SUU with Chucky starting, lost to the University of Utah. Then Kent Myers started homecoming. We blew out Colorado State and then dropped 55 on Boise the week after. And then it just kind of all went sort of downhill from there, but I mean, we were in the Potato Bowl. Him and Chucky were splitting time and snaps, and it was weird. And then he had the whole thing as junior, but they were really bad. And then kind of they were transitioning to Jordan Love as senior, but he beat BYU at home, played pretty well, like was never going to be an NFL quarterback. But I don't know. It was a very strange career, but yeah. He was the only 4-year starter that didn't get injured.
Yeah. So I think when looking back on it, I think Logan will have that kind of pedigree. It was like, oh yeah. Like he was a solid Utah State quarterback. He obviously got us the biggest season we've ever had. So I want to wish him luck and on his future endeavors and his family. Wish them the best of luck as well. I know that I haven't been the most positive person about Logan Bonner's performance on Twitter this year, but I know that he brought me some of the happiest moments as a sporting fan last year. So I do have to, I hope he has a good recovery, and then whatever comes his way next, that he does it successfully.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I just want to wish him luck, and like, it sucks that, you know, it ends this way, but sometimes it has to.
And then let's turn the page to Thursday's game against BYU. We Braxton, you and I sat here and talked last week about how we shouldn't have any expectations for this game.
Mm-hmm.
As knowing, I thought Logan was going to be the starter just because that to that point, the offense really didn't give us anything to be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Once Cooper was named the starter, I thought this could be a Daryl Gerritsen kind of game. It gave me that similar vibe, so especially the first half. Tim, what were your thoughts when like going into that game? I know that we didn't really get to hear your opinions on the BYU game last week, but what were your thoughts going into that once you knew that, you know, the quarterback change?
I thought that we had a chance. I wasn't sure like how good of, I mean, BYU is still a top 20 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are a very good team. Like if we had been as good as we were expecting to be going into the year, like I don't know if that game was not penciled in as a win. Like if we before the season went into that and we're like, okay, what would we have been 3-1 going into that? And came out of that like 3-2 with like a 2-touchdown loss. I think a lot of people would have been okay with it. I mean, not ideal.
Yeah, I agree.
I think our offense looked a lot better. I don't think we have as good of a receiver on this team as we've had since Hunter Sharp, or as we had when Hunter Sharp was here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely led to some less than ideal situations in the passing game, but I think our offense looked significantly better. Kind of everyone was involved. There's a lot of different people. Our penalties were still a mess, but
oh yeah, they're terrible.
The defense held on and played pretty well. And like, I think we have if we play well this weekend, and again, I think they have the pieces in place now to play well, that if people execute and don't beat themselves, like they have the potential to beat Air Force.
Braxton, what was your thoughts on last week's game?
Going in, like hearing, you know, that Cooper was going to start, I was like, okay, like let's see what he can do. And going in, like watching it, like it definitely felt like we were in it in the first half. And then second half, we kind of blew it. But like watching it, like it looked like the team just like was completely different. Like the energy was different.
Mm-hmm.
The play calling felt different. Like we really put it all out there in that first half. And then the second half, I think you mentioned it on Twitter, we kind of got really conservative.
Oh, yeah.
And if it just felt like we were playing to not to lose or not to win, but not to lose, you know, like we were just being conservative, like hoping to get a stop or two. And that was the end of it. Like we didn't play with that same confidence we had in the first half, but seeing Cooper, you know, throw the ball around, run with his legs, it was just a different Aggie offense than we're used to the first 5 weeks of the season.
I want to ask you guys this. I think that Logan Bonner is the best quarterback on this team, but I think Cooper Legault is the best quarterback for this team. The reason why I say that And I think, Tim, you mentioned is that the wide receiver is just not what we thought it was going to be. So we our wide receivers can't create separation. I think this is also part of why Logan struggled so much, is that he was trying to force things into holes that just weren't there. And he doesn't have the capabilities to run around and when those wide receivers are double teamed or just completely struggling. So he has to force the ball, and that's why he had so many interceptions. I think that Cooper provides us a significant difference to the offense where, you know, if those wide receivers aren't open, he has the capability of scrambling around and creating some chaos in the backfield so that the wide receivers can break free and get open a little bit easier than they were with Logan. And if they can't, Cooper is able to scramble and pick up some extra yards. I think that's something that the offense has been really lacking so far this season. I think it's something that Logan or Cooper is adding to our really kind of, I would say, average offense to this point this season.
Yeah.
The problem that we were running into was even against Weber was they were only rushing three or four and they would just drop everyone else because we can't run the ball. It was better last week, but our run game is still pretty bad. And you can rush three or four with our O-line not being great and Logan Bonner's not going anywhere, is that you have time and it just puts such a pressure on our receiving group, which isn't, this is probably the worst receiving group of receivers, like top to bottom, that they have had in this program in probably at least the last 7 or 8 years.
So I would say 2019 was pretty bad, but even then we had a freshman Devin Tompkins. So
they had freshman Devin Tompkins. COC Mariner was better than Brian Cobbs is. They had Caleb Rep, who was
yeah,
impactful as a tight end. Then
all right, fair enough.
But he on this team is been so far. There was Gerald Bright then as well. He was really good out in the
flats.
Yeah. He was a really good receiving running back.
Fair enough. And I think there were like three, excuse me. There were three moments in this game that I think the Aggies lost it. The first one was Cooper Lagos' fumble in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
When we were up by a touchdown, I think that if we go up two touchdowns right there before the half, it's a significant boost to us. I think that is something that we really kind of messed up on. The next one that comes to my mind was that fourth and one play where Cooper Lagos got stopped like a yard short when we were down a touchdown to BYU. I think that was a play that was that we lost it on. And then I want to say Justin McGriff getting pushed out of bounds and getting that illegal touching call where he had like two times in that game where he actually got pushed out of bounds, which I feel like is someone that size shouldn't be easily pushed out of bounds. But I think those are three significant markers of that game where I think Utah State really lost the momentum and gave it right back to BYU.
We are the last fan base that is allowed to complain about an illegal touching penalty.
But I agree.
gotta love those.
Yeah, but I agree with that assessment. I think that there, you know, we were just one or two big plays away from a closer game at that point. You know, anything could happen. But you know, the score in the second half was not as close as it looks on the scoreboard. Yeah, I feel like
definitely.
BYU definitely ran with it after when the second half started. So,
and I think some positives, if we have to look, obviously Cooper played really great on the ground. I think he ran the ball really well. He did struggle a little bit throwing the deep ball. That was kind of clear for some. I know there was that one pass to Terrell Vaughn that he had him beat and he couldn't get it to him over the top. So that was something that I noticed. I think that once again, Robert Briggs is electric. I think when Calvin Tyler was recovering from either a minor concussion or whatever he was recovering from, I think the offense looked the best it did all game. And I personally think that Calvin Tyler's great, and he's been a great leader for us this year, but I think that Robert Riggs is just special. I think that he is going to have a really great year or great career here at Utah State. He could be that next great back that we put into the NFL. I think that he's got a bright future for us.
Yeah, he is. It's really fun to watch him play because he is so quick
and aggressive.
Just like, yeah, just very much like, I mean, him and Calvin Tyler kind of have the same like running game, and I feel like their style is kind of the same. But Brace just seems to get an extra couple yards every carry.
Oh yeah, like it looks different, and it's nothing against Calvin Tyler, and I think Calvin Tyler is a very solid starter, but it just looks different with Robert Briggs. He just looks like we found a diamond in the rough at that position. I think that he's going to be something special for us, something similar to how when Jaylen Warren came on to like first, like him and or Darwin Thompson. That first time when he showed up on campus in those first few games, you could just tell that those guys were a little bit quicker, a little bit more aggressive than most people that they face on the field.
Yeah, I think the Aggies have a good potential future with him. Well, in a couple.
There's
years,
a lot of great freshmen on that are playing a lot of important. Yeah. For us. So that's I think that's something important.
I also think that just, you know, more reps, more practice, better results,
which is weird. And we'll turn the page to the future. We're sitting at 1-4 this season, and I have never been more optimistic about our chances in the Mountain West than I do right now. Tell me why I'm stupid or foolish for believing that.
You are. I think I don't mean to be rude, but I think that this Air Force game, I don't think it'll be particularly close. I think the Falcons will come out and kind of run all over us. They are 4-1. And they're
played
only
two
losses.
Bad games in a row, though.
Yeah. I mean, the only loss is to Wyoming. But yeah, I mean, and yeah, Nevada 48-20 beat Nevada. And then
Nevada's
Navy,
terrible.
13-10.
Navy's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colorado is terrible. Like our win over UConn is better than their wins over like UConn's probably better than Colorado. UConn's probably better than Nevada. Navy is one of the worst teams in the country. This is going to be a really, really interesting game this weekend. They're a 10-point favorite. We never play them well. Mm-hmm. We've also never lost to them homecoming weekend. Because we play, I feel like we play them every year, every other year for homecoming.
Yeah, I do. I mean, too.
But we haven't lost to them at home in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Our D looked better last week. I'm concerned because teams have run all over us for the most part, and that is their team. That is their MO, and they play extremely disciplined football, which is something that we don't do at all. So I'm that worries me. However, I do think our offense continues some success. They're at home. There's going to be some electricity with a new quarterback. There's going to be some optimism. I hope that they're able to put it together because the season gets kind of meager and what you're playing for gets a lot less exciting the rest of the way. If they lose this game. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they, as a season ticket holder, hopefully they're able to win and get a kind of a winning streak going, but it's not going to be easy, but I think they've got a good shot.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if they beat Air Force, Colorado State's not good this year at all.
They're terrible. Yeah.
Wyoming. Yeah. And then we play Wyoming.
Like, so toss up. That one's going to be in Wyoming. It'll be difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting. And then we go, you know, at Maverick at Hawaii at the back at the Mav, and then at Boise. So, I mean, it's like, we really only have, I don't know. It'll be an interesting season.
Yeah,
I think on Saturday is very telling of what is going to be the outcome of the season.
See, and I've already been on record saying what I think how the season goes the rest of the year. I think we actually lose tomorrow, put us down to 1-5. But I think we win, run the table afterwards. And go 7-5 at 6-2 in the conference.
We are not beating. If we lose to Air Force tomorrow, there's no way we beat Boise in Boise on the day after Thanksgiving on the blue turf at 11 o'clock. That's an 11 o'clock start.
We'll see, but I think
10 a.m. start.
The 10 a.m. start on PBS. Yeah, we're not not beating Boise the day after Thanksgiving if we're not like playing for the Mountain West Championship game or something.
Well, here's the thing: if we lose to Air Force and run the table, theoretically, we could be playing for the Mountain West Championship if things go our way. Yeah. Go our way still, but. I am optimistic about this game on Saturday. I think that, like Tim and Braxton said, they're going to run the ball all over us. I think that that's pretty much going to be the case. I think they're going to hit a deep ball to score a touchdown after they kind of beat us. But I also think that our offense is going to start playing catch up. I think that we're going to see some exciting things from the offense. I think that it'll be similar to what we experienced last year. And I think this team is kind of ready for that fight that they're going to be in for the rest of the year. Because honestly, if you had to say right now who the best team in the Mountain West is right now, or who's going to represent the Mountain West in that Mountain West Conference Championship, who would you say?
Boise or Air Force.
Yeah.
And San Diego State, who has still not been great, has been significantly better than everyone else in the West Division, who is just equally as bad as we are.
See, and I think that by far UNLV has been the best team this year. Does that shock everybody?
I'm looking.
Oh, because
UNLV is at the top of their division, 4-1.
And I think that with Jake Haner still being out for a little while longer, I think that UNLV will end up running away with that division. I think that the Mountain West Conference Championship game is going to be in Vegas this year. And whoever they play, who knows at that point. But that's what I'm thinking it's going to end up being.
Yeah. San Jose State is also, you can't overlook them either.
True. They're pretty solid.
So... I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't think we run the table. I think that we probably will go. Let's see. Where is
I? You got to get 5 wins somewhere. Wyoming, it doesn't look as tough as they did last week. But maybe San Jose is just a lot better than we gave them credit for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah,
I see it this way. Lose Air Force, beat Colorado State, lose to Wyoming, beat New Mexico. Beat Hawaii, lose to San Jose State, lose to Boise.
So I don't know why you think Hawaii is such a tough matchup.
I said lose to Hawaii.
You said beat Hawaii, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, I said beat Hawaii. I don't think it's a tough matchup.
Okay.
Yeah, Hawaii's been very bad.
Yeah. I think we end the season with 2 straight losses. So...
Go 4-8.
That effectively ends our every chance we have.
We'll see. If we go 1-5 at home, that's gonna be so bad.
You guys got season tickets, not me. You guys got to go to all those games.
Yeah,
not an ideal. Not an ideal. All right, yeah.
But basketball season starting soon.
Oh yeah, Friday
there.
Yeah. The season starts on. They have the blue and white game on Friday, so. Hopefully that they're able to, you know, turn it around, maybe have a better season next year. And we have something a little bit more positive to talk about. Aggie sports in general are kind of struggling right now. Yeah. I know that the soccer team lost this morning and they were on top of the mountain for a while. So
were they? Anyway. I haven't been keeping up with soccer.
Anyway, let's get out of here. Hopefully.
Sorry, Sage Rush Show listeners, this one's kind of short and sad, but we'll come back with some energy. We're all going to be at homecoming. What is everyone looking forward to most this homecoming weekend?
Herms weekend, man.
Herms? Tim, what are you looking forward to?
a whole bunch of us being in the same place for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see Rick and Lucas, and I'm excited to be at the game. There's a J-Dogs up there now, so I'm excited to go get a hot dog.
Ah, yes.
The hot tub.
Yeah, sit in the hot tub.
Maybe
I'll get my hair cut by Monica if I could text her and ask. Who knows?
I saw the parlor has a new, like a whole new like location. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was joking before. I do like the Sunday morning Herms, but no, I'm excited to have homecoming up there. And if anyone who cares about us and likes our show, we will be at the tailgate on Saturday morning. So feel free to come find the Sigma Phi Epsilon tailgating spot. All three of us will be hanging out there from 2 until the game starts on at 5 o'clock. So
yeah, feel free to come say hi, say you're a fan of the show. We'll sign some autographs. We'll give you some wings.
Eat a granola bar.
We'll give you an Odyssey bar. Speaking of Odyssey bars, use code Sagebrush for 15% off.
Yes.
And www.odysseysnacks.com.
Go, Steve.
Appreciate it, guys.
Is Steve going to be up there?
No. He's
gonna go sell some bars.
He's gonna be in Vegas if you can put the two and two together.
Selling bars.
Yes, selling bars in Vegas. I'll leave it as that, as an Aggie podcast.
I'm sure it's a combo.
There's a significant game going on in Vegas between two Christian schools.
Oh, I didn't know that he was Irish.
So his father-in-law bought tickets in the summer and he is going. So we don't put that against him. He's married into a BYU.
Notre Dame by 14.
All right, guys. Well, let's end this one.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening to the Sagebrush Show. My name is Braxton Moon. As always, you can find me at Happy Moon on my socials. This has been a good episode. As always, I'm joined by Brady and Tim. You can find them at socials as well as Braden T. Clark.
You got it.
And Wim Tilson 13.
No 13.
Oh, just Wim Tilson. Gosh, I've known you guys for years, still can't get it. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Go Aggies. We'll talk to you later.
Night.